Hello, everybody. This is Brenda Daly. I am the host of Real Women, Celebrating Women in Independent Film. But today we are talking to Ben Stober. Ben is an actor. Do you write, Ben?
I actually wrote my first feature script last year in April during COVID when everything shut down. Yes, so I am now a writer.
Awesome. He's an actor, writer, producer. He works as a production assistant. He will basically do anything that has to do with film because he has such a passion for it.
Thanks. So I will work for food. I am so hungry.
So this is Ben Stober. And so Ben, I was super excited to work with you on Tommyknockers. I don't think we've really worked on anything together besides that.
We haven't, and yet we've taken classes locally in town, and knowing you through your daughter as well, Brenna. And I think the great opportunity that Night of the Tommyknockers gave me was the ability to play a monster for the first time and to do some stunt work in this small Western town, White Horse Ranch, that we shot Landers.
It was beautiful too. It was cold.
I know, snow and the rain and being in almost like a onesie and not being able to wear coats because we were covered in hair gel to make us look sticky and sweaty. It was Vincent Gustotti's effects and practical effects with Eric Yoder were fantastic. It would take maybe an hour and a half or so to get into those outfits, but it was just it was creepy, it was disgusting, it was wicked, and it was incredible also seeing your audition tape for the role of Sally. I actually got to I've been working also on the casting side as well. That really has helped me as an actor to work on the casting side, that I've had some opportunities that I'll discuss later. But yes, being able to see your work and a strong audition, which was why I was so excited to see that that you were one of my choices. You were my choice for Sally, and it was fantastic to see that you got it. And yes, to be able to work together in that scene and capacity that viewers will absolutely to watch to find out.
Honestly, I know that on the outside, you always come out like you're always wearing bright colored suit with patterns. I mean, if anybody who knows Ben Stober knows that he makes a showing when he shows up to a party.
Yeah, he's a goofball. So he's a big kid.
He's a big kid. But I think we all are in the filmmaking industry. But I think that, you know, you're very good about making an impression. And I think that that's what makes you successful. Like, a lot of people don't go out of their way to do that.
No, that's extremely true, Brenda, that in this industry, especially in our industry in Vegas, that, you know, it's a small community and you really only have one shot to leave an impression. And it's that question of who are you as a product? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're a screen queen, you know, to brand and market yourself, dress accordingly as that and make sure your materials reflect that. And me, I'm very much, again, a goofball big kid at heart that I've reflected in my attire when I attend screenings in those crazy Oppo suits and my website. And but it's funny that it doesn't always reflect that in the content of what I work on. And that can sometimes be because that type of content isn't always readily available. I was blessed to gain a lot of experience beyond just being an actor through Lisa Savvy, who's writer, director, producer in the Las Vegas community. She lives in Boulder City, and she gave myself and Ronnie Nanos from Amarillo, Texas, also Vegas local, as well, the opportunity to work on Space Captain Callista. We worked with her on the pre-production, just the shooting. I got to work and assist with director April Kagan. I was her feature film directorial debut, and as a first AD while acting and producing and cooking meals for the cast and crew and working behind the scenes. And I just gained so much insight and so much valuable learning experience through that.
Right. And I think the thing that the difference between Vegas as opposed to Los Angeles, like, I know Los Angeles, they're like kind of the upper crust of what's going on in filmmaking, but the one thing that we have here that I don't think people really understand is that We have a huge community and we will all work our butts off for no money or anything just to make a great product because of our love of the film. And we are always willing to help each other out. And I'm sure there's people in LA that do that, but I think for us, we're pretty much like ground level. Like we can pretty much learn anything because it seems like our community is so willing to give.
Yes, and that's something too that it also makes each of us as an artist stand out in that we aren't treating this industry as a competition, which many do. It's a race, you gotta beat the others no matter what cost, because it's a life or death situation. You either will eat or you won't. You will pay your rent or you won't if you don't get this role. And there's so much weight and pressure that it makes for a difficult way of living and enjoying the storytelling experience and having fun and meeting other people in the industry, actors, writers, directors, producers, you name it, and connecting, bonding, creating relationships with these people. It's a marathon. I always have felt that it's a marathon more than a race, because we are going to cross that finish line. We all will. So long as we keep moving forward, whether we walk, whether we jog, whether we run, we're going to cross it. It may not always be when we want it to, but
I also kind of see us as this little family, you
yes,
know.
absolutely.
There's always that family member that everybody talks, or the family member who talks about everybody, or it's also the family
Yes.
member who, or when you work on a film, you really get to find those deep-seated things about somebody that you may or may not like. And then I think the thing about our community, and this is just my personal opinion, is that we are a very forgiving, like if we have a bad experience once, we're always willing to try again, and it always seems to work out because, you know, I was taught by a guy that used to be a general manager for CBS, and the biggest thing he taught me, besides don't be afraid to ask, is he taught me that you're always dating. I think in our film community, we're always dating. So you
Yes.
have to kind of look at it like that. So every relationship you have and every film you do, you're dating. They don't, you know, if you're a prima donna and you have a fit or whatever, you can be forgiven once for that. But then if it becomes a pattern, then nobody wants to
It
do it
becomes a
again.
reputation. And again, in a small community, film community here, that it's easy for word to spread around and for people to not want to work with you because of how difficult you may be. Same goes for LA as well. And this is, for us, this is our own little Hollywood. We can still make a living doing what we love without feeling like we need to be in New York. We need to be in LA right away. I mean, those are the bigger markets. Yes, there is a lot more work out there. And here in Vegas, it is a lot closer than we think. And that was something I kind of changed in my life a few years ago. I was working concierge at Aria for 8 years. I always wanted to work in film. And I started into it about six, almost 6 years ago, while working a full-time job, trying to balance the two, which I had the freedom to go out to LA for a weekend. And I just wanted to start, dipping my feet out there and seeing, okay, what does LA have to offer that Vegas doesn't have? And I would start going on sites like Eventbrite, EventBrite, Eventbrite Los Angeles. Yeah. And, when you click on the search, it gives you like categories, and I select film and media. And it gave me all of the activities from classes, networking events, movie premieres, film festivals. And it gave me the opportunity to support and introduce myself and meet LA filmmakers out there who were, just me wearing those crazy Oppo suits, leaving that first impression, but being supportive of a community I had yet to work with or get to know. But it was so awesome, Brenda. The more that I did that over a year span, people were remembering me. Oh, you were the guy that was in that bloody suit for that horror movie premiere. Yes, they remembered what I wore, but they remembered, oh yeah, we were also talking about that film you worked on in Vegas. So
Well,
it
let me
kind of
tell you something funny is because I'm working very closely with Donna Fisher, and it's kind of in that same situation where she would do anything crafty to get noticed. So she had this big audition. It was for a Kevin Costner film. And when she went in, she literally on purpose tucked her skirt in her panty, in her nylons. So when she did the audition, she literally on purpose turned around so they could see her knickers, as she said. And then she and they called her back. Because and she and it, there were 3,000 people auditioning for that role, and she would make top five. Because it's all about making an impression. And I think that the biggest thing that we could teach actors is you got to make an impression. I always kind of tend to do the under the radar thing. I'm always, I'm not a shy person, but I always feel like I don't really know where I sit. So I just kind of go for whatever and then, pray to God that it comes back to me. And it
Absolutely.
has been. I've been very
And
lucky,
yet, even with your audition too for Sally, you had the wardrobe, the attire, you looked the part, but you also didn't put your entire focus on wardrobe and neglected to create a backstory and also to have your lines memorized. Self-tapes are the thing. I mean, that's what the industry is now built upon now due to COVID and what last year did, that we now all have that opportunity to turn our homes into our own self-taping studio. You know, that's getting that ring light that you could connect your phone to, and even like a lav mic to get better sound, to get like a backdrop, blue or a gray backdrop, so that way you don't have a bunch of distracting pictures and furniture and things. That was something again that I had in watching a lot of self-tapes now this past year. That really, again, reminded me as an actor, this is what casting directors are watching. They want you to succeed. They want you to be the best. They're not judging you, but when they're watching you, if they can't hear you or see you clearly, or there's a bunch of distractions behind you, it takes away from your performance. And again, when you are at home, you have that time and ability to memorize. There's little tricks and things, almost like teleprompters, where you could still do it without holding the page and looking up and down at the lines. There's lots of tricks and tips and things you could do. I was actually,
Phone. Your
yep.
phone is fine. It's easier to
Oh,
send.
yes. Yep.
But and if you can't have a reader in the room, you need to call a friend. And what
Yes.
I've done is I've used my, when I did that audition, I used my camera for me and I used my phone for my reader. And so this way I'm completely safe, COVID safe. And then you just message them. You got to reach out to people and say, hey, will you do me the solid?
Right.
Will you read the other lines for me? They do have good recording equipment that you can use that are Bluetooth from your phone.
Right. And very inexpensive. You
And
can
so I
find on
think.
Amazon or even at Walmart. I saw that ring light for $30. I grabbed a second one as a backup just in case with my travels or if I ever needed a secondary backup. So it's fairly affordable. But again, you know this too, Brenda, that our industry, we'll say actors, it's a business. We are a company, a product. So it does take money to build that company. We need these tools, to be able to submit auditions. So whether that is lighting, sound, camera equipment, or using our phones, like you
If you
say.
don't have those tools, they will know. Like they
Exactly.
don't care if it's off your phone, but they will know.
Auditions are always the biggest
Absolutely.
challenge for people to get past. And I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but someone else in LA referred me to Actor Trade app. It's Actor and then Trade, Trade. And the cool part with that app is you can actually find people, other actors, to read for you your scenes, and you can record your audition through the app as well. And you're earning time for every actor and person that you help read for them. Then you accrue time that then you can use whenever you need someone to read for you. So it's a trade-off. It's really smart. It's a great app. Again, as you say, if you happen to be in a pinch and nobody is available, friends, family, Actor Trade is a really great app that I've also used too, that I've managed to make some good contacts and connections with, of just
Well,
helping
I
other
think
actors out.
that is like that's like you're building your community, and I think that the community is the most important thing, especially I think in independent filmmaking. I don't know about you, but I think you're a lot like me. You're a very social person.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think I just really enjoy meeting people who have the same interests that I do.
Surprised to find that I'm not as sociable now as I was 7, 8 years ago, I was extremely introverted. I was shy. I was bashful, nervous. I would keep to myself through high school, college, even moving out here to Vegas from Colorado, from Pueblo West, Colorado. I've lived in Vegas 16 years. And it wasn't until I became a concierge that I really started opening up and networking, understanding the need as a concierge to network with other concierges, businesses, to get to know one another. So that way I was able to better promote and sell and market their products to guests, to customers. And
Social media is a thing. If you want to be an actor, I have so many actor friends. It's like, oh, I don't do social media. Oh, I don't do this. Well, if you're an actor, you better be doing social media because people will not reach out to you if they don't know you're there. If you're a producer or a writer, then you can kind of go off to a different part of social media and not be in the mainstream. But as an actor, you are a product, and if nobody knows what your product is, they don't know to hire you.
Absolutely
So,
agree. Facebook has a lot of those groups. You know about them even in Vegas, for those listening too, that
I'm in all of
yeah, the
them.
Las Vegas actors, Las Vegas gigs, Las Vegas film jobs. That's Las Vegas. There's at least five or six of them. Make sure you're on them because yes, that's how I got my start, was finding auditions for CSN. Student films, and that's how I got my start. My first break was having Facebook, using social media, finding an audition, submitting, and then the Mahals with my first feature film, Last Day of School. That was their
Nice.
second film they had done. I found it also through. Yes, I talked to with people about this on set number of occasions recently. There are so many social media outlets. Yes, it can come off as overwhelming. You almost feel like you're just glued to your phone and a computer. Which one works best for you? And I've heard this also from Amy Jo Berman, former HBO VP casting, raises a great point. It's really finding the strongest two, at least, that you can commit to, which for me, Facebook most certainly is, and Instagram. But I'm finding now, as I'm seeing more people using TikTok, the unique aspect of that for actors is that gives people the ability to see, you listen to you and like a little 15, 60 second piece. But it's also, again, what kind of content are you putting out there? And the biggest question to ask yourself with every post that you put is, how is your, like, is your content, is your post adding value to other people's lives? Or is it basically just constant self-promoting? And when people see that
Right,
it's just
and that,
you posting, it becomes disinteresting because all it is you. But how is it helping them? How is it inspiring, motivating them?
because I've been to a bunch of conferences. So basically, how social media should work is you post something about you, and then you post three things of things that you are to do with acting, because what you're doing is you're actually building a bigger network when you say, oh, well, I was like, for me, my husband's a gold, he likes to gold mine. That's what his hobby is. So it's like, when we're out gold mining, it's like people go, wow, where is that? And these are actors and producers and directors, but it's like something they're so interested about. And then you just get right back to them and say, oh, yeah, we went here. You don't even mention acting, because a lot of times, like you said, too much self-promotion makes you kind of look like you're an egomaniac. And I know people do it and they're not egomaniacs. They're
Right.
just doing it because they think it's bringing it. We're going back to dating, right, Ben?
Exactly.
You don't want to date the guy or the girl that says it's me, 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 me.
They're just talking
That's
about themselves. It's making it about the other person. Yes. And there's a great tactic on doing that on social media. Like, for example, we worked on a movie. So, Brenda, you could be promoting your work on this movie, but what you would do is you'd post, let's say, a picture of the two of us and on set, and you could post that, how awesome, exciting it was working with my actor friend Ben Stober on this film for the Mulholland Empire. Really great shoot. Can't wait to see how everything works. You make it about the other people instead of, oh, I ended up working on this film and I did this and that. And oh, and these people were involved too. You make it about the others first. And we see that this woman, Brenda, on her post is making it about the other people instead of herself. So she's selfless instead of selfish. I think,
Right, and
again,
the
is.
thing is that I think you have to really, I think that people who post and really do know about this is that at the end of the day, people will care about you if you care about them.
Yes.
And I think that being transparent is the most important thing. Like, you know, I'm producing on a couple of films, other people's films, and they ask me and they're like, well, we shouldn't tell them this. And I'm like, well, this is the problem with not telling people things.
Yes, honest.
If you don't tell them, people think you're hiding things, and people are not stupid. So you need to just be, if you're having an issue with money, or if you're having, maybe you're paying and then production gets shut down because somebody died of COVID, God bless them, because I've heard that before. Whatever it is, you've been paying your actors. It's like, you need to just tell them the truth and then see, will they work on deferred pay? Will they do this? Will they do that? I mean, right now, just to get something out there as an actor, writer, director, producer, whatever you're doing is the most important thing. It doesn't even matter how you get it out there, whether or not you're getting paid.
Yeah,
it matters right now.
It's creating content. And that is a perfect transition, Brenda, that you bring up, because that was what I prayed about this last year, because COVID was, again, a difficult time for many people, a lot of actors and artists that just didn't get the chance to work or do anything. And I prayed about this, of finding ways of creating more work opportunities in Vegas. And lo and behold, Jeremy Settles from Got Films here in Las Vegas, worked with them on a couple of the films on my IMDb page, Space Captain Calista, The Unwritten, and and we talked about the very same thing of just finding a way of creating some work opportunities for actors in Vegas. And we came up with this Lucky 777 Film Challenge, which is it's on Facebook, the Facebook group, Lucky and the numbers 777 Film Challenge. And wanted it to be something kind of like 48 hours, where people would shoot a short film in 48 hours and get to watch it, screen it. But wanted to take it a bigger step further in giving seven filmmakers the chance to shoot a feature film on a $7,000 shooting budget, no more than seven crew members, not including cast. And then they would get $3,000 in post, so $10,000 budget total. Originally, we were thinking 7 days to shoot it, kind of like a speed competition. But again, this is something, you know, first time we're creating something like this, and kind of came to the understanding that we don't want the quality of the films to necessarily suffer just because it has to get turned in on, you know, in 7 days, 168 hours. So we're kind of being flexible now. We're giving 7 to 10 days. We've received about almost 20 submissions, yourself included, Brenda. And
I know.
Which I'm like super
excited. Praying on that.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be making the calls this weekend with everybody to catch up. But it's
awesome.
I feel
like this, as if you are a local filmmaker or an actor or whatever, if you can get on those crews, even if you don't get picked, like I've told a couple of the people that did submit, of course, I want to be picked because I know I can do this. But I told them that if they get picked, I would still want to be on their team, because to me, it's really not about it's about completing a project and doing something creative in this time of a little bit of darkness.
Yes.
Where that's kind of like coming out of the light.
Teamwork as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but I totally think that 7 to 10 days is much more reasonable, because
yes.
Literally I have been writing things down on how I would get this done in 7 days, because I don't even, when are you guys actually going to start the competition? Do you know?
So the filmmakers are actually going to have a large window of time this year to shoot them. So the films will need to be completed and turned in by November 30th. So technically, once they're announced, we're going to be launching an Indiegogo campaign March 1st. Some of the funds are already in place, but again, wanted to open it up to not only the community, but a number of friends that wanted to in somehow be a part of these films. So it's
right,
something
right.
Also, I feel that's rare, where on Indiegogo, there's generally campaigns just for a feature, but this will be seven feature films that you could get a special thanks credit, or an associate producer, an executive producer. It's going to be, I'd say, perk-wise, a lot of credits. However, and this is a big thing, too, that I was very adamant on in speaking with Jeremy about this. I wanted this to really be for the Vegas community, for the actors as well, that haven't had a chance to get work, because it can be a very cliquish industry for many, not just Vegas, but
Yes.
everywhere where, and I'm prone to that too as well, where I've worked with the Mahals on 8 films now, and there are people who haven't had the chance to work with them on a film. And same for a few
Right.
others as well. But so I wanted this to be exclusive to Las Vegas actors and crew, and that every actor who submits to want to work on one of these 7 projects, whether it's deferred, partial pay, full payment, that's up to each filmmaker and what they're able to budget with what they'll have. I want to make sure every
Right.
actor gets the opportunity to at least work in one film. Now, that could be
Right.
hopefully as an actor with a couple lines, but you bring up again another great point, Brenda, is if you really want to work with this filmmaker, and maybe there just isn't the right role. That's not to say you still can't work on their team as a PA, as a script supervisor, as a crew member. A PA at least gives you that great opportunity to be a
I
fly on the
think for
wall and to
me,
see how they work. How do they direct? How is their team? And they get to know you and see how hard you work in that position. They'll remember that. And when an opportunity comes up to get you involved in another film, they'll certainly reach out to you. That's happened to me on a number of occasions, and I
but
can't
see,
stress that
that's
enough.
all about the whole, that goes back to the networking. It's like for
Exactly.
me personally, I enjoy all aspects of it. I mean, of course, I love to act, but
Oh,
sometimes
absolutely.
I just love to write and direct more. It just depends on what's going on and what the story's about. But I'm always willing to do whatever because
And
to
that's
me,
an
it's
excellent
like
mentality.
this is part of the journey.
Yes,
You know,
absolutely.
if you go in being an actor and you're like, I'm going to be rich and famous, then you're really not in it for the journey.
Yes, you're not
And
in
I
it for
think
the
that from,
storytelling experience and making
I
friends
mean, you
and
are.
building a family. You know, how many positions can you carry? And just like that example with Space Captain Callista with Lisa Savvy, I was the lead actor in that film. I was going in it primarily as an actor, but I was also assisting April Kagan as a first AD and a second script supervisor and cooking meals and PA. And it was a lot of work. And I would
But it
say
was
that of
fun.
them all was, it was, but that was definitely, I bit off more than I could chew, but I really wanted to learn and grow and gain some insight into all of these positions. And yes, I'd say ultimately as a result, I wasn't 100% in every position that I worked, but I did gain a lot of knowledge and experience from it that then I was able to, moving forward, find out which areas can I juggle and handle. As you said too, Brenda, you're adding an immense amount of value to a production, not just being an actress, but also having contacts, connections, scouting locations, catering. Again, it's just the list goes on and on. And that also, again, shows people as you build your IMDb credits what this person can do. We know, I know your strength is being an actress, but I also don't know you well enough to know that you're also exploring other avenues like makeup, directing, writing. Reason I was setting up a lot of these movie premiere events for the Mahal brothers on their films, and I was getting the theaters booked and reserved and really trying to find a way of creating a movie premiere event, but trying to again add value, finding a way that we can really help the community out. And we started doing these charity movie premiere benefits where we'd be selling the tickets and any extra money that's made, that besides paying the theater for the theater rental, would go towards a local charitable organization that drew the attention of Las Vegas Review Journal, which was wonderful. From Mike Weatherford, wrote a great article that I didn't expect, but it was just really kind. And just again, it's finding ways of being selfless instead of selfish about you, and just being able to just give back to the industry, the community, the people that help give you opportunities to live your dreams. And they have the life experiences and the talents and strength to give that role everything that it's got. And I know that there's going to be that role for me as well. And that's just
I
for.
think it is true. And I think with you, I think your strong point, Ben, is that you are the everyman. I mean, literally, you look like you could play somebody's dad or you could play somebody's son. And I think you kind of have that look where you're kind of the everyman. You could literally do the whole I'm a psycho. You could literally do I'm the straight guy. I
I
think you
know.
have a
What's up with that?
very.
I'm always getting like the dick rolls. It's like that guy is just he's a bad guy. And I'm like, why am I getting those? I'm a nice
I know
guy. It's so funny.
I'm always getting the crazy old lady, which I'm fine with.
Yes.
That's why I really like, I really like the Sally role because I felt like I wanted to show a different side of me.
You'll want to, when you first read those sides as an actor, you want to throw the first idea that pops into your head out the window, because that's, again, you want to find at least four different ways that you could play that role. And you tend to want to go for not the first choice, but like the third and fourth, the ones that are less, that will less commonly pop up in other actors' heads. So that way, and again, seeing this from auditions as well, where it's really, there's a lot of tricks in the script that can make you think you have to yell this line because it's in bold, or there's a dot dot dot, so that means you have to
Or
pause,
there's an exclamation.
or it says angrily and you have to say the line angrily. Those are misdirections that the writer has that intention on how the scene should go. But if you emotionally don't feel that you should say that line angrily, don't, because chances are every other actor is going to follow that direction and read that line angrily, except you. And you're going to be the one that's going to stand out. And that's going to be a really refreshing approach and direction. I actually got that, surprisingly, again, from Amy Jo Berman. This is a time now where we're at home. We can't necessarily be studying classes with, you know, hundreds, dozens of
Right.
students. And I would highly, highly suggest for any actors who haven't yet, to go on Amy Jo Berman's site. She has this Next Level membership, and I did that for 2 months. I want to say it was like $39 a month, shameless plug. And there was hundreds of hours of content from like how to really create strong resumes, headshots, self-tapes, and getting representation. 90% of that is through referrals. There was just so much, a wealth of knowledge and information, including those audition traps that it's very easy to fall into. Certain things that I didn't
I
even think
think,
about or realize until I watched those
and
videos.
I think that's really unfortunate for actors that are just starting out, and they're like, "Oh, it's COVID. I might as well start acting." You know, I used to do blah 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 blah. I think that's a misnomer. I think the thing about it is that when you are breaking down a scene, you need to really understand that you can't play a scene just one way. You need to have at least two emo. If it's one page, you got to have at least two emotions at your fingertips. You need to start with one and end with another, because then you're showing dynamic range, and it will make the audition. Because you have to remember, these auditions are, they're seeing hundreds of them. You want to make sure that you show that little dynamic range. And the other thing that a lot of actors don't do, since we're talking about acting today, is they don't have those real clips that they really need. And it was funny because I was talking to Julie Garcia Briseño,
Oh,
and
yes.
she's a very good friend of mine, and she showed me a clip that she did for, because we're doing this women directors film thing. But anyway, she showed me this clip, and she's like, "Yeah, my husband and the editor didn't like this clip." She goes, "So I put it into this film thing that we were doing." And when she showed me the clip, I laughed my ass off. And it was literally like, I think she's got it on her site. It was literally like a 10-second clip. But it was just, and she goes, "Well, you know, he chopped our head off when he filmed it and everything." And I just looked at her and I said, "You know what, Julie?" I go, "I would put that on your comedy reel." I go, "Because if I was a casting director, I want something that entertains me, because these other actors are just going to say, 'Oh, well, I'm going to bring my reel in to be, to show them that I can act.' You know, show them something that makes them entertained, because then they will pay, they will look at you twice."
And show them something they haven't seen. And you're right, comedy is a stronger reel to be able to show casting directors, because they know if you can get the comedic timing, which is not easy, if you can get that, they know you can handle drama. Or at least if you have an audition scene monologue prepared, always go for comedy over drama, or a dramedy that has a little bit of both. Don't just do drama, and definitely don't do pre-existed scenes from other films like Forrest Gump. You know, if I had an audition
No,
scene
right.
as Forrest Gump, because they've seen that movie, everybody knows Tom Hanks, who,
Right.
you
And
know,
write your own. Write your
exactly,
own.
write your
Find
own,
your own joke.
absolutely. And that's a huge thing
Find
too.
it. You know what? Nobody can write better for you than you.
Exactly.
So if you are a dark person and you feel like that is your strong suit, then write a dark scene and then get your friends together and film it. And you could do it on your phone in 4K, but
And that's
make sure you have scenes. And the thing is that reels are really kind of passé. What you need to do is show them, because if somebody comes up to you and they say, I need a 50-year-old mother who smokes weed, right? If you have that scene in your little clips, that's the only thing your agents are going to send them
Right. And
in
they
the
actually
future.
have a clip grid is becoming more commonplace now, where if you have a website that and you break your demo reel, that's, let's say it's a couple minutes long, to kind of break it down in clips and describe like the character. Is this a comedic, dramatic scene? What's the emotion? What's the feeling, the action, the character? So that way people are looking for that specific type, they can actually look it up on that clip grid and pick that specific one. Or as you said, your agents would submit that specific
Yeah,
20
and
second clip.
hopefully that's how you get. And I'll have to tell you that I know people that have like real big time agency people, and they have been dropping people like crazy because they're not keeping up with that. And literally, it could be something as simple as you're in a situation and you come up with a little improv and then you think it's funny. And if you think it's funny, they're going to think it's funny too. So just film it, use your phone, try to make sure you always have some sort of good audio and be in the moment. Like you're a performer, freaking perform. It doesn't, and a lot of times they know the sound's not good, but if it's funny and it entertains them and your agent and manager looks at that and they think it's funny and entertains it, they're gonna forward it. And that's what you want. Like all businesses have to, you have to come up with some sort of money. And like, I think my husband pays $2,500 a year to be a realtor, right? So he has to pay that right up front. Well, as an actor, you can't just say, oh, I'm an actor. You really have to, if you're not, and the biggest issue with working on short films and CSN is a lot of times you don't get your reel. So you need to make reel. Like if you want to be an actor today, you can't wait. You need to make it. You need to find somebody. You need a PA. You need to talk to people that have access to equipment, and you just need to go do it because, and you have your phone. Use your phone. If you can't get anybody else, get your mom, get your dad, use your phone.
And also,
Because
again, working on those student films, I didn't know it then, but for everybody now to hear that, yes, if you audition for a student film and it's unpaid, to make sure to negotiate. If you get that part, that you negotiated in writing, that it's filled out, that you're going to get clips of your footage immediately when the production is over and they're working on the editing within a certain period of time. And then also, you would get an associate producer or a producing credit of some kind. You could be a lead in it. I would go for a producing credit. You're not, the movie, the short is going through festivals. It's not going to make a profit per se, but it shows others that you offered, donated your salary in a way that you would have had towards the production. It shows that you're more closely connected to this production than just an actor acting for free. It's,
so,
if that actor is working on your project and they're volunteering their time and everything, that at the very least, you know that that's worth its weight in gold that will help them get future work opportunities in having that real footage.
yeah,
Absolutely. And
I call it creative currency. That's
it's not a me industry, it's a we industry as
correct.
well, because again, we are all in this together. And again, just
Awesome.
that this is giving us a lot of great experience and exposure in Vegas. And yes, that could very well lead to Los Angeles, but it's also knowing with each one of us to ask ourselves, are we ready to take that next big step and level? It's like going to the Olympics, knowing that we have the training, the experience, the practice, the credits. Once you outgrow your market and you've worked with every filmmaker in this city, in Vegas, and you've trained and you've taken all the classes and you've outgrown the market, then yes, that may very well be that time that you should think about moving elsewhere to LA or to another busy
Atlanta.
film economy. Exactly.
What is in store for Ben in the near future, and what is your long-term goal?
Ooh, I love those questions. Well, the near future this year for me is definitely the Lucky 777 Film Challenge. It's my way of not only giving back to the Vegas film community, an opportunity to help in producing these films. For me, it's also to really work on the casting side of these with these seven filmmakers, to collaborate with them, knowing a lot of Vegas actors and not all of them, but to be able to really help bring opportunities for the many actors in this city, and to help them find the right roles and right fit, and meeting and working with these filmmakers that they may have always wanted to and never gotten the chance. That's a big dream and
And
goal for me this year. And
I just want to tell everybody out there who's listening is that Ben is hilarious. Like, I had no idea how funny you were. I was
oh.
like, he's very, I don't know if it was the monster suit or what it was, but you definitely have a little thing that you probably haven't explored as much as you probably should because
It's
you are
method
very funny.
acting, you know? It's like, it's not until I wear the wardrobe that it really brings out the character, I suppose. And that certainly would
Right.
normally bring out the scary monster, but I was me. It may be goofier and sillier. That's probably
I
why
know
I
that I
dress the
love
way
that.
I.
So I had such a good time talking to Ben about acting and what to do when you get started and how to move forward. Unfortunately for Ben and I, we talked so long that the recording cut off before we did. So I just wanted to say this is Brenda Daly with Real Women celebrating women in independent film, but today we celebrated Ben Stober.